This is Haley Rutger for Science Notes, reporting from a greenhouse in the University of California, Davis. Massive fans, nearly as tall as I am, keep the temperature just right for the tobacco plants inside, a balmy 26 to 28 degrees Celsius during the day. Water flows into a radiator-like device to keep the humidity constant. There are three rows of small, medium, and large tobacco plants with dark emerald leaves and pink trumpet-shaped flowers. You can't tell at a glance, but some of the plants are genetically engineered to resist drought. They live on one-third of the water normal plants need. According to plant biologist Eduardo Blumwald, who leads the Drought Resistance Project, crops that live on less water will help provide food as predicted droughts cause serious famine.
I think it's historical. It's the first time in the 21st century where there are riots in the world because of lack of food. The lack of food is, you know, the situation is brought about few factors. Among them, the high price of energy, the fact that people are using grains for biofuels, but also because for the last 2 or 3 years, we have an increasing drought all over the world.
And I understand it's going to be very bad here in the American West.
Well, American West has been really punished for the last 3 or 4 years. In fact, last year was in California the driest year in record. All of the rain that we had this year only was enough to fill our reservoirs up to 70%. It is expected that the deficit will continue. So, in this sense, to try to develop crops that are able to grow with less water have to be a very important objective.
And in simplified terms, can you tell what the hidden differences are between these plants and everyday crop plants like corn and tomatoes that you see out there?
The main difference is the expression maybe of one gene that is affecting the expression of many other genes of the plant, making the plant able to respond physiologically different in the presence of stress. But essentially, there's no difference.
Blumwald's team put a snippet of new DNA into their plants to change the way they react to drought. In drought, plants typically survive by dropping their old leaves, which is called senescence. They feed nutrients from those leaves to the young parts of the plant, which make flowers and seeds. This way, they can make just enough kids to carry on. Blumwald says adding the new DNA changed that strategy.
So we hypothesize that, well, maybe if we can try to modify the plant such that the plant, during stress, does not drop the leaves, but use the energy in the leaves and the nutrients in the leaves, the plant could avoid the damages of drought.
And the young plants, once they're engineered, go into an incubator, which regulates the temperature, light, and humidity. It also makes a lot of noise. The lab has plastic curtains to muffle the incubator's droning hum. The incubator is important because it ensures that the drought-resistant plants grow up in exactly the same conditions as their normal counterparts. Eventually, these crops end up in the greenhouse, where they're bred to carry only the drought-resistance DNA and no copies of the old DNA. They are tested for drought resistance in the greenhouse and later outdoors. And now we know that drought-tolerant crops work very well. You've demonstrated that, but it takes about 8 years to bring them to the market.
I think that we are guilty that it takes so long. We have scared ourselves of this. Oh, modified plants that are going to eat us alive, that we have generated so many regulatory barriers that we need a lot of time to fulfill of this nonsense. We have to remember there are transgenic plants, there are genetically modified plants in the market for many years, and nothing wrong happened, nobody have died, nobody's sick. On the other hand, hey, famine and lack of food have killed millions.
This is Haley Rutger for Science Notes, signing off.